This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham and Seth Meganson joining me here. We're going to do a bracketology podcast. We're in March, and we've got some movement to talk about, Seth. We're in midweek, going through the middle of this first week of March, and some action here. And first four out from your Monday update. Let's start there, maybe. And I'll maybe even add a team to this list, but let's start in the ACC. We focus a lot here on AFP with the ACC. I'll be at the ACC tournament next week, and I'm sure there'll be some teams playing for their bid lives next week in Charlotte. But you had, as your first four out on Monday, Clemson. Now, Clemson gets a narrow but important win on the road at Notre Dame last night. What did that do for Clemson and its chances to get a bid?
Really for Clemson, I mean, that win obviously helps. It always helps when you win. But then also last night, Seton Hall, I believe Seton Hall was the team I had right as the last team in. They got a big win over Marquette. So that hurts Clemson a little bit right there, just something out of their control. But yeah, getting the win at Notre Dame, though, is going to do nothing but help them. We talked last week about how they have Syracuse this weekend. That will be a very big game to determine whether or not they'll get in. And then obviously the ACC tournament, they'll still have to make noise. But right now, I still have them sitting out, and mostly because of that big Seton Hall win that was over Marquette.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Clemson really couldn't have done much to improve its situation last night. They could have certainly killed their situation, or at least really put it on life support if they'd lost that game, which it came down to the last seconds. I'll throw in NC State to this mix because I'm not sure where you've been seeing them lately, but a big loss last night, an unexpected kind of damaging type loss to Georgia Tech, a team that's way outside of any conversations about postseason play. What does that do for NC State?
I think with NC State, that was obviously a big loss. You can't lose that game to Georgia Tech. I had them on the 10 line, but we talked about how they don't really have any quality wins. The net numbers are pretty good, but their quality wins really aren't there. I think that they're probably still hovering around the 10 line, that or maybe just slightly at an 11. I don't think that they're going to be in the first four, the last four in, but I think it will be interesting to see what they have to do for the rest of the season because, like we've just said, they don't really have any quality big wins. I mean, their best win was Auburn. And Auburn, I mean, has looked all right, but nothing spectacular like everyone thought at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, that was a game that really hurts NC State's chances. Right now, I still have them in and still avoiding Dayton, but they are very much pushing themselves to be right there on the bubble.
I'm intrigued by Furman. I do a lot of work with ESPN3, SoCon Sports. I haven't done basketball, but I've done football, I've done baseball, I've done wrestling, and so I know the SoCon really well. I know the schools, I know the folks there really well. And Furman could make the SoCon a two-bid conference, assuming Wofford wins and as expected, would win the conference tournament, get that automatic bid. And I think Wofford would be a team that would get an at-large bid if they didn't win the automatic bid. And if Furman were to then be a bid stealer, that could make the SoCon a two-bid. Now, you've got them among your first four out. Where do they stand right now?
Right now, they're still on the outside looking in, but like you said, they're a very capable team. They could win that tournament. If they win that tournament, they're obviously in, and that would probably put Wofford in as well, so making the SoCon a two-bid league. We talked about that a little bit last week. I think Furman probably is going to have to win the SoCon to get in, even though I have them right there on the bubble. The rest of the teams are going to have chances to have put some big quality wins on their resume, and I just don't think Furman, the best thing they can do is beat Wofford, but that would be for the conference championship, so it wouldn't matter anyway towards their resume. So, yeah, I would say they're on the outside still, and they're going to probably have to win their tournament to get in. But before last week, I thought after they lost to Wofford in the regular season, I thought that was it. I was like, Furman probably doesn't have a shot of getting in, but hey, they still are sticking around, their numbers are good, and they have a win over Villanova out of the conference. So, yeah, they're right there, but I still think it's going to take a conference championship to get them in.
Yeah, you're right. There's not much you can do. Unfortunately, even with another team in the conference like Wofford that's playing so well, there's not much you can do outside of that to improve your situation. Now, another team in a conference, the second-best team in the conference where the nation's current number one team, Gonzaga, sits, St. Mary's of California. You've got them as part of your first four out. are they in a similar situation as Furman in terms of the at this point, the only thing they can really do to improve their resume would be to beat Gonzaga, and if they do that, they're likely going to win the automatic bid anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I find them in the exact same boat now. If you were to tell me to pick who could maybe not win their conference tournament and I think have a better shot, I'd actually probably go St. Mary's just because of the name recognition. I know you're not supposed to pick off of that, but let's face it, the human element is a factor in this thing. So I think they're probably of the two between them that they can afford to lose and still get in, but I think in the long run, they're going to have to win. Again, like you said, they'd have to beat Gonzaga, but that would be the conference championship game. So, yeah, they'd have to win, I think, their conference to get in. They're a team that's very interesting. I had a hard time actually putting them where I do because, again, they don't have any really big quality wins, but their numbers are just really good. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they played Gonzaga twice. But, yeah, they're a team that I think definitely is going to have to win the conference to get in.
Creighton was your other team in your first four out. Their resume reminds me a lot of Clemson's at this stage. They've played a great schedule. They've lost to a lot of really good teams. They don't have really a lot of impressive wins, but they're right there hanging around. What about Creighton at this stage?
Well, one thing that Creighton has going for it is if it comes down to them and Clemson, there's a good chance that Creighton might get in because Creighton beat them at the beginning of the season. So that could possibly play to effect. The Big East in general is just it has made this bracketology a headache for me because they are so it's almost like 1-10 in that conference are so even that they're all just sharing defeats against each other that it makes it kind of hard to judge, you know, who to put where. Like, I mean, you got teams like Georgetown and Providence and Butler who have all like considered putting like right there on the bubble or have been right there on my last four in or first four out. And yeah, I was going to say, the Big East in itself has just been absolutely crazy to try to figure out. Creighton, I think Creighton doesn't have to necessarily win the Big East to get in like some of the other teams. I think maybe they make a good run. But I think that could be said for a lot of the Big East teams, to be honest with you. The Net and the BPI and all those, they don't really respect the Big East. Maybe that's for good reason. Like I said, they all just seem to beat up on each other. So I think it might be pretty hard for them to get in, but maybe they make a run to the tournament. I can see them maybe making a push for one of the last four spots.
So you mentioned Seton Hall. You had them in your most recent update as the last of your last four in, and you mentioned that win over Marquette. That's got to improve your stock if you're them right now.
Yeah, so that was a big win. I had them just in over Clemson, just because Clemson's numbers are better than all the other factors with like the Net, BPI, and the things that the committee's going to look at. But you look at who Clemson's beaten, and there's really nobody. Seton Hall at least had a win over Kentucky. Well, then this win is another good win for them. So you can say Seton Hall got two quality wins over Kentucky and Marquette. Say that should do nothing but help them. I don't think they're in the clear yet. I think they have a game, I believe their weekend game is at home against Villanova, so that will be a very big one if they can pull that out. But yeah, so they're still not in the clear. If they lose that one and then lose their first game in the Big East tournament, they find themselves right back out. But the win over Marquette did nothing to damage, obviously, their chances. It did nothing but improve them. So yeah, I think that's a solid team that some teams might not want to play. But like I said, with most of those Big East teams, it's hard to gauge where they are because they all have just been beating up on each other. And so it's kind of just hard to figure them out.
Arizona State out in the Pac-12. Now, it's weird to think Pac-12, because Pac-12 has a roster of name programs at least, but it may be a one-bid conference. Right now, you've got them among your last four in, but I look at their resume. You know, thinking back to December when they beat Kansas, at the time Kansas was number one, I think, when they beat them at home, you thought, wow, that's a signature win. That'll really be important. And now Kansas, of course, is really struggling with a lot of losses, injury and otherwise. And then you look at, you look at some of these losses for Arizona State. So that impressive win over Kansas. But then you've got, and they beat Utah State on a neutral court. They beat Mississippi State on a neutral court. So those are nice wins. But then you lose to Vanderbilt. That stands out. You lose to Princeton. You lose to Utah. And, of course, I mean, you lose anybody in the Pac-12. This season, unfortunately, that's going to stand out. Now, they won last night on the road at Oregon State. They've got their season finale, regular season finale, with Arizona coming up this weekend. What about Arizona State in their slotting right now?
Well, with them, like you said, they got some wins that you're like, oh, those are pretty good wins. Like, regardless of Kansas flipping or not, that's still a solid win. And the Mississippi State and Utah State, they're two teams that I have in. So those are obviously good wins. But then one loss that you didn't even mention was, I think, I can't remember what the final score was, but Washington State blew them off the court one game. I'm pretty, and the Vanderbilt game, another bad loss. So, yeah, if they just wouldn't have that loss, they would probably be in pretty comfortably. But, yeah, they can't seem to get out of their own way, which was a lot like how they were last year. I don't know if it's like a mental thing or it's a Hurley thing, who knows. But, it's kind of funny, like, when you look at teams from year to year and you look at that team, and I literally think they're the exact same team that they were from the previous season. And last year they were one of the last four in, so... Right now, I have them in Dayton, but like I said, as long as they don't suffer any more really bad losses, like, say, in the Pac-12 tournament, I think they'll find themselves in. The wins over Kansas, Mississippi State, UConn State, those will do nothing but help. And I think that will ultimately get them in, but it's not going to be a guarantee right now. They probably need to do business against Arizona this weekend and then make sure that they win a couple games in their conference tournament.
Now, Alabama, they're not bad losses, but they have lost their last two. They're not bad losses at all. You lose to LSU by 5 at home. You lose to Auburn by 6 at home. But they are losses at home. And at this stage, Alabama, you look at their quadrant 1, they're 3-8. They're 6-3 against quadrant 2. So that's a 9-11 record. That's a lot more wins than, say, Creighton, Clemson against, you know, similar those two quadrants. But at 17-13, 8-9 in the SEC. They've got Arkansas this weekend on the road. That could be a tough one. Is that a must-win for Alabama?
I think so. Last week we were talking about potential bid stealers. I think Alabama's the team that's going to have to worry about that more than anybody. Right now, with how everything's going, I have them right now as the last team in. I think that they're definitely going to have to win some games and then be cautious of what's going on around in all the other smaller conferences. Like, we talked about teams like Belmont and Clipscomb who could end up stealing bids if they don't win their conference tournaments. So, yeah, I think Alabama's got to beat Arkansas, and just like let's say with most of the other teams, have to do something in their conference tournament to feel comfortable come Selection Sunday. They have a win over Kentucky, and, you know, you'd think that, you know, that would, with the numbers that they have, that would be enough, but just their form recently has not been very good. And like you said, the last two losses weren't bad losses, but still, they're games that, you know, you got to try to pull out at least one of them. And so, yeah, right now I have Alabama just hanging in there very, very close to being out.
Minnesota was also in your last four in. It's been a good little stretch. They, of course, get the win on Tuesday at home over Purdue. That's huge for them. They're 19-11 overall, and what stands out about this team, no bad losses. They're 9-0 against Quadrant 3, Quadrant 4. They're 10-11 against Quadrant 1, Quadrant 2. You don't want to say anything is definite at this stage, but was that Purdue win sort of a defining win, something that really we'll look back and say that got them, that solidified this bid for them?
Yeah, I totally think so. I think that they probably, with them and Seton Hall, I thought probably had the biggest week for bubble teams. That win probably put them into the field pretty solidly. Again, don't take anything for granted, though, just because you beat Purdue. Don't just think now you can just let up off the gas. Still got to get some wins just to make sure you're safe. But that was a very big win for Minnesota. And say it would be very hard for me not to see them getting into the tournament now. Like I said, they just have to just not show up in these final couple weeks. But, yeah, very good win. If anything, I think that might affect Purdue about where they might end up, because, I mean, a lot of people are saying that they were pushing for a 2 seed because they might win the Big Ten regular season, and now I'm like, there may be a 3, maybe even a 4, because they have a lot of losses. But, yeah, back to Minnesota. I think that was a very big win for Minnesota. It probably has them sitting pretty solidly in.
Okay, so one thing you do with each of your updates, Seth, and for our listeners out there, if you read the columns, you know this. If you don't, you should read the columns. You always give us newcomers, you know, teams that maybe are playing their way closer to consideration. Let's start there. That's the positive. You're playing your way closer to consideration for a bid. Who stands out right now in your mind as a team or a couple teams that are playing their way into the conversation?
Well, I mean, there's a couple. I would say there's a couple that I don't even have on there just because they're on the bubble and not necessarily winning their conference, because a lot of those teams on the newcomer lines are teams that are now, like, have now taken over first place in their conference. Like we were talking about Creighton earlier, I think Creighton is a team that I think they could be a newcomer into this thing if they can really push. They had good wins recently. And like I said, the Big East is up for grabs. But there's one team in the Big East that's definitely sneaking up on people, and that's Xavier. Xavier, I believe, I don't have the number right in front of me, but I think they've won 8 in a row, if I'm not mistaken. Like I say, and they're probably the hottest team in the Big East right now, so they could be somebody that come Selection Sunday could be right there, even if they don't win their conference. They're also a team, though, I think that the rest of the Big East needs to watch out for, because they're playing their best basketball right now, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them win the Big East tournament. Murray State's another one that they can maybe push for an at-large bid, but they're in the same conference as Belmont, and they're probably the team that has the best chance of knocking off Belmont. So they're a team that, you know, might be, my name might be getting mentioned around. They have a superstar player. So, yeah, they might be the team that come Selection Sunday, you might need to watch out for, see where they end up, or, you know, if they don't win the conference, maybe a potential big stealer.
And now, so we talked about that, the positive. Who maybe that you had in your field on Monday, we talked about NC State maybe being one of these teams who maybe has played their way closer to the bubble or maybe even other side, but who was in that mix what felt safe on Monday but maybe doesn't feel so safe today?
Well, we talked about NC State. That's definitely a big one. That loss to Georgia Tech, I can't explain how bad of a loss that probably is. I mean, Georgia Tech's not a terrible basketball team, but that's a game that NC State needs to win. St. John's is another team that's just not – they have just fallen off. They're for a while, they were playing very good basketball, but recently it just seems like they can't find a win at all. They're a team that needs to watch out, or they might find themselves out. And then the one that I've really been keeping my eye on is TCU. TCU – a couple of weeks ago, I had them, like, you know, on the round 8-9 line, and now I'm just like, gosh, the way they're playing, they keep playing the way they're playing, they're not getting it. They'll need to pull out some wins. When I do the update, I wouldn't be surprised if I have them as one of my last four in. But I'd say TCU and St. John's are two other teams that really need to watch themselves and get some quality wins just to make sure that they're safe.
Now, looking at – so let's look at the top now. We've been talking about the activity on the fringes of getting into the tournament. And now let's just take a quick look at the number one seeds. And as of Monday, and this is, this is very fair to say with the national rankings agreeing in this respect, but we've got UVA, Gonzaga, Duke, and UNC of three ACC teams as one seeds. Now, with Duke and UNC playing this weekend, and then, you know, we have the ACC tournament next week, is it possible, I mean, you know, that the ACC could still, no matter what happens, you know, Duke, one of those teams will lose this weekend. Somebody between Duke, UNC, and UVA, maybe two, maybe all three of those teams lose next week in Charlotte. Is it? What has to happen maybe for the ACC to still have three number one seeds?
It's going to be tough. When I made this bracket, I was sitting there going, a lot of people read this, but probably like, oh, there's no way that's going to happen. And they're probably right. I mean, this is based on what they've done to this point. I was going to say, one thing that will be a factor is a whole different conference, the SEC. If Kentucky or Tennessee doesn't win the SEC tournament, like say LSU wins the SEC tournament, I think that as long as Tennessee or Kentucky win that, they're probably going to get a one seed, whoever wins that conference tournament. But if we are trying to play out a scenario in our head where you think somebody, where all three of them could get a one seed, I would say probably what would need to happen is maybe Duke probably would need to beat Carolina this weekend, but then Carolina would probably have to win the ACC tournament. And if that was the case, you know, they would have to beat Duke and Virginia to do that. So I think that could be a scenario where all three of them get in, and then Tennessee or Kentucky don't win the SEC. I could see that being a scenario where all three get a one seed. I don't think anyone like Michigan State or Michigan, even if they win the Big Ten tournament, they're going to get one seed because too many losses. That's the only way I could see that actually happening is maybe Duke beating UNC this weekend, but then UNC winning the ACC tournament, and then say LSU or somebody else besides Tennessee or Kentucky wins the SEC tournament.
It sounds like you think, and I think I agree, I would agree with this, that it's really down to, I mean, Gonzaga's got to be solidified as a one. Nobody really foresees them losing through the regular season, through the WCC tournament. So Virginia, Duke, UNC, Tennessee, Kentucky, among those five teams for the other three number ones, is that sort of where it seems like right now?
Yeah, personally. I think UVA's got it locked up, too. I was saying, the only how I could see UVA not being a one is if they lose to Louisville and then lose the first game of the ACC, then maybe that makes some people not want to put them on the one line. But I think that they pretty much got it locked up. I think them and Gonzaga, like you said, pretty much have it locked up. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty much four teams for the last two spots is what I would say. So Duke, UNC, Tennessee, and Kentucky battling for those last two spots.
Well, it seems like we have a lot settled, and it's usually not as settled this time of year, but I think we've talked about this, Seth. It seems like the bubble isn't what we've seen in previous years, and then there's a lot more certainty, it feels like, at the top. And even those of the four teams who are fighting for those last two spots for the number ones, I don't know that being the number two, if you're the two teams who get lopped off there, it is that big of a demotion. So it just feels like we know more than we normally do at this time. Is that sort of, am I onto something there?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, there's years where the committee will throw an absolute curveball at us, but I think pretty much it's pretty easy to tell, especially at the top where teams are going to be. Like I was mentioning earlier, Purdue may be someone who might have hurt themselves of not getting a two seed with the loss to Minnesota, but they'll probably at least be a three. Texas Tech is probably going to be a three seed. Michigan and Michigan State probably have two seeds pretty fairly locked up. So yeah, I was gonna say I don't think that much of the seeding at the top is gonna get rearranged much besides what we were talking about with the one seed. But yeah, after you get to past the first four, I think that's when you start getting a little bit of a jumbled mess of teams of like 5 through 9 that can maybe make their way up and down seeding wise, and then when you get to the ten seeds and below, and the 12 seeds that are at large bids, from there, that is the teams that are all fighting to make sure that they still stay alive and make the NCAA tournament.
So for our listeners out there, we now know what Seth is thinking, but we're now going to wait for the column and see where the seeds all come out, where the placements are, the last four in, the first four out, all that. So that'll be in a column that we'll have sometime tonight, early tomorrow morning. And then we'll update that all again after this weekend because we've got a lot of conference tournament action already ongoing. We've got the major conferences finishing up their regular season play, getting ready for their conference tournaments next week. So, that update coming, and then next week is going to be just a tremendous week getting this all solidified. So, Seth, thank you for your time now, but we got to get you back on again soon.
All right. Yeah, sounds good. Thank you for having me.